It's great to see some old friends. I know back in the day, I don't know if you guys remember the St. Pete's Church up the street. You know, that whole, that when it was, man, it was summers, but during the summers, really hot. Really, really hot. And then you guys would sit there and listen to me for, I don't know, God knows how long. So, you guys were very patient. So, I am very grateful to be here tonight. So, just so you know, we're going to kick it old school. There's no PowerPoint for you to look at. It's just me to listen to. And any of you got Bibles in the house? Who's got some Bibles in the house? I need people who's got a Bible and likes to read out loud their Bible. Somebody? I see that hand. I see that hand. No. The other one's in the car. Well, I don't care if it's an app. It's okay. It's the 24th century. Is it 24th? I don't even know. So, we're going to actually spend a lot of time in the Bible today. First passage, I need someone to read. So I'm just getting, who's going to be our first reader? Somebody? You want to be the first reader? All right. I need you to read Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22. I'll tell you when to read. Okay? And the next person, who else wants to read? Somebody? You. All right. I need you to read Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. Yeah, it's there. It's really there. And the main passage we're going to read, I'm just going to read it. Okay, we're good? All right, why don't we open in prayer and get going. Father, thank you for this day. I know every single one of us in here have all sorts of issues in our mind. Some issues are easy and some are not. But either way, we need you. And what a great time to be in your house, to be among people who need you. So God, we're all people just in need, myself included. So I pray that you be with us in this time. And I pray that we receive exactly what we need, every single one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So just quick life update. So I've since leaving Church in the City, which was 6 years ago, come August, man, time goes by. I've been an urban missionary here in downtown Toronto. So I don't live far. I'm just in Leslieville. So I know Regent Park's over here. I'm just over the bridge. It's like a whole new world. You know, isn't it funny whenever you cross the bridge, you can almost hear Aladdin sing, a whole new world. Yeah, so that's how it feels over the bridge. It's a whole new thing. So that's where I live. So I still help people who get stuck. You know how it is, right? Sometimes you get stuck. You want change and you need someone to speak for you. So that's what I do. And every week I go to jail. I do prison ministry now. It's funny how that worked out. So I used to proudly say, and Willie used to be there when I used to say, I don't have a prison ministry. I visit my friends in jail. And I think it was God's way of humbling me because too many of my friends were getting in jail, so I just needed an ID badge to roam around. So they gave me an ID badge to roam around the jail. So, yeah, so it's actually quite unique. I'm discipling a lot of people with some pretty serious charges. So three of my guys are on first-degree murder charges. And, yeah, a couple of my guys just got out this week. So please pray for them. If you know what jail life is like, you know, that first couple of weeks is a haze. You know what I mean? And it's hard to, like, wait, no one's telling me where to poo now. or get shower. That's right. I've been around. So, can our first reader read the passage, please?
As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee.
Here's the mic. That's right.
As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them.
So before we get to our main passage, this is a bit of a setup, okay? So I used to read that passage in a funny way, where basically Peter and a bunch of other people, they're just fishing. Okay? Not like Pastor Mark fishing, like fishing for a living. Okay? So they have a quota and they really got to do what they got to do. And it's funny because Jesus shows up and basically says to these guys, hey, come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men instead of actual fish. And then they just drop their nets and get going. And I used to just think, hey, Jesus must have had some like crazy mental superpower that he just came up to them and said, hey, come follow me. And they're like, yes, we're going to go. Yes, I'm in. And then I realized I've been reading it shallow for a long, long time. There's actually a very deep reason why Peter and all those other guys had no problem leaving their jobs that day. It's because the way the Jewish schooling system worked was the first thing you do, everyone goes to the temple to learn. And the first 12 years of your life, all you do is learn the first 5 books of the Bible. Okay? First 5 books of the Bible. And at the end, what you do is you recite your memory of the first 5 books of the Bible. So, can you imagine that? Memorizing the first 5 books of the Bible? Yeah. Yeah. You need a lot of alcohol to get through that. So, especially Leviticus. Not fun. Yeah, it's not exciting. And then what happens is, you recite as best as you can. And if you're the best of the best, you're told, all right, keep going, you're going to graduate to the next level. And if you're not one of the best, you're told, go home and learn your family's trade. Okay? So if you're one of the best, so now you read the rest of the Bible. You read the prophets. Okay? So by the way, that first version, that reading part, that still happens today. It's not as crazy anymore. If you're a guy, it's a bar mitzvah. You do your bar mitzvah. If you're a female, you do a bat mitzvah. So it's a big party. It's like, hooray, you memorize your Bible. Amazing. And then the second part, now you got to read the rest of it. Okay? And if you're the best of the best, you're told, all right, you're going to go to the next level. And if you're not the best of the best, guess what you're told? Go home and learn your family's trade. With me so far? Okay? So now that you've read the rest of the Bible, you're now called the Beit Sefer, the son of the book. Okay? Now, the next part, you now read the commentaries of rabbis in the past. Okay? And you try to memorize it as best as you can. And when you graduate, you don't actually move on to the next level. What you need to do is you need to go find a rabbi. And then what he's going to do is he's going to test you. He's going to ask you lots of questions about your understanding of the scriptures. Okay? And then if the rabbi thinks that you're good enough to follow him, he says this term, come, follow me. You see? So of course, for Peter, at some point in time in his life, was told, hey man, nice try, buddy. You're not quite good enough. Go home and learn your father's trade. So he comes from a family of fishermen. So if you were told that you were basically a loser earlier in your life, and someone comes along and says, hey, you're good with me. Come on. How many people would sign up for that? Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, going in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll work for Bill Gates. Yeah, no problem. Right? I heard he's just giving half of his money away. Maybe I could be one of the recipients. Right? No problem. Okay, so that's Peter so far. So next passage. I need someone to read Matthew 26. You remember the verses?
All right, read away.
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. He denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
So that story is very interesting. Because you would think if someone came along and basically lifted you up to a whole new level, you would be loyal to them even to the death. Okay? It's actually interesting because this particular night that she read, Jesus was just arrested. And Jesus actually told Peter, listen man, I know you think you got my back. This is the EJ version, by the way. So maybe I should make my EJ version Bible. I know you got my back. But the reality is, you're going to deny me tonight. And so this happens. Now, I don't know about you. What do you think Peter felt that night? Shame. Right? And not just any shame. Like the deep shame that you can't sleep at night. You know? You ever had that? Like every portion of your body like feels like it got kicked. You know what I mean? You lose tears because you're tired of crying. That's how we felt. Now, it's funny because I've gone through a lot of heavy things with a lot of people. And I find that most of the time why people are stuck doing damaging things to themselves is actually because of shame. Shame. And it's not because, you know, they're bad people. It's funny, actually, especially now I'm dealing with some guys with some pretty serious charges. And reality is, they still have a heart. Jesus still died for them. And whatever goodness they were born with never really went away. You know, because the reality is, all of us were born sometime on earth, right? Yeah, yeah. When you came on earth, you were unblemished. There was nothing wrong with you. It's not like any baby is born and immediately like, yeah, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? I think I'm going to receive ODSP and get drunk all the time. No one does that. It's life that happens that causes people to get to that place. And the reality is the most common emotion that I've seen through the years that causes people to get stuck, it's shame. It's shame. Which brings us to the main passage that I wanted to read tonight. So I don't know if you knew this. Maybe you got to know this from Pastor Mark and Pastor Kim. So we're Pentecostals. So Pentecostal means that what happened in Acts chapter 2 is important to us. That means the Holy Spirit is important to us. That means what happened to that early church, God showing up in a powerful way, lots of people coming to faith, people being transformed. That story is not an old one for us. It's still today. Okay? So the passage I'm going to read is Peter getting his preach on after Jesus came back and then left. And then the Holy Spirit showed up. Okay? So here you go, how it goes. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches to the crowd. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk. Basically what happened was people started praising God in languages they didn't understand. And people thought, well, they must be drunk. Nothing's different, right? If we saw someone saying gibberish during the day, we'd think the same thing. See? Life hasn't changed. So these people are not drunk, as some of you are thinking. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. Clearly, Peter doesn't know some of the people I know. So, yeah. One of my dudes drinks 18 tall boys a day. I don't know how he does that. Anyways. So now, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And he preached, and then he quotes this famous passage. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. You hear that? All people? Are you a part of all people? Yeah, all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants. Men and women alike, they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he says, people of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles and wonders and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen. And basically, Peter goes on and preaches this incredible message. And at the end of it, 3,000 people come to faith. Do you want to know how incredible that is? It's not just, most people just focus on the fact that 3,000 people got saved. Or most people focus on the brilliant things that Peter said. But I don't know about you, we just went through what Peter went through before. This is amazing because Peter was never supposed to amount to anything important. Right off the bat, he was told, go home. You're not good enough for this ministry thing. You're not good enough for this God thing. Go home. Just learn your father's trade. And then on top of that, when someone undid that, when Jesus came by and said, no, you're good enough for me, he betrays that dude. People forget, when Peter said this, just a week before was when he denied Jesus. Right? Now, I don't know about you, most of the time, I see people, when they experience shame, the next week, they're not preaching at Young and Dundas Square. You know what I mean? Or if they are, they might be drunk. Who knows? This is amazing. You know, and it's funny because sometimes you can read the Bible so fast, too fast in fact, that you don't realize how incredible it is. But the fact that Peter was even publicly saying anything about Jesus was already amazing. Because the week before, he just screwed him over. Now, what does that say about God? Now, what does that say about God? What does that say about the Holy Spirit? What does that say about this Jesus thing? I'll tell you what. If you're obsessed about following God and having the Holy Spirit work in your life, it doesn't matter how many shameful things you've done in the past. You're still going to be used by God. Because I bet you, I tell you this, I bet you, as Peter was preaching, you think he forgot that the week before he just screwed Jesus over? You think he forgot? Heck no. No way. Do you think he forgot that when he was a kid, he was told, you're not good enough, go home? No way. How do you think he felt when he finishes this crazy speech? He's the first street preacher that ever recorded on the scriptures. 3,000 people came to faith. How do you think he felt? You think he was like, yeah, I'm awesome. That was meant to happen. I read a leadership book. You think that's what he was thinking? Do you think he was like, yeah, you know what? I went to seminary. I studied the Bible for 10 years. I know this book like the back of my hand. No way! In fact, I tell you this. The passage he was reading, he never read that as a kid. Joel was for the ones who were told, keep going, keep learning. And here he is. And I challenge you to read it. In Acts chapter 2, all the passages he quotes are all books he never read. Now, what does that say about following Jesus? What does that say about the Holy Spirit? It means it doesn't matter how screwed up you think you are, God can still use you. It's funny because last week I was going through this with some of my brothers in jail. You know, and one of them I've known a long time. 13 years. And it's hard when I see someone that I've known for a long time. You know, it's one thing if you're new, it's like, all right, let's get going, let's work on your stuff. But it's tough when it's someone I've known for a long time. Usually when they see me, the first reaction is like, hey, EJ, I'm glad to see you. But then there's like this moment of tears. Because I'm a reminder of how long they've been struggling. So one guy, I was going through this last week, and I know full well he was back in jail because of his addiction. Meth is his problem. You know what he said to me when I brought this up? He said, EJ, where do I sign up? Where do I sign up? That I'm no longer stuck because of my shameful past. Where do I sign up? That I no longer need that meth when I get out of this jail. Where can I find this power? So I don't have to be screwed up anymore. Because I tell you this, I'm sick of people getting written off. I'm sick of it. Lord knows, last time I was in Regent Park, there was some meeting about how can we consult the community a little bit longer about like policing. And it was funny because the people that were there, they said, you guys did this before you blew up the neighborhood. You know how you're going to fix it? You're just going to kick us all out. That's what's happening in this neighborhood right now. You know why they're doing that? Just because they're ripping people off. They think that if you're on welfare, if you're an OW or ODSP, there is no hope for you. Do you know how many times I've had prison guards ask me, do they ever get better? And I say, heck yeah. You just don't see it. Because you only see them when they go back into jail. My job is to stop them from coming back in here again. And you want to hear something funny? Do you want to know what school I went to do that? I didn't. Do you know how many times I've been at the landlord-tenant board fighting landlords? I'm 7-0, by the way. Do you want to know if I went to school for that? I'm telling you now, I didn't. I didn't. Even the prison ministry that I do. Do you know every week I come in there clueless? Legit, I never plan. I never plan. This is a new life update, by the way, Willie. I plan less. And you know what? Some people might think that's irresponsible. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not irresponsible if your main mode in life is to seek God in everything. And when I say everything, that means the things you crave, the things you want, the things you go after are godly things. And I don't mean like, you know, singing Christian songs all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. Church culture is ridiculous sometimes. Okay? Church culture is not like being like Jesus. It should be, but it's not. Because I tell you this, God's not going to ask you at the end when you come face to face, God's not going to ask you, what was your church attendance like? Okay? God's not going to ask you, did you have all the words to I surrender all memorized? Because you kind of need that to get in. God's not going to ask you that. God's not even going to ask you how much money you got. Do you own a house in Toronto? Do you rent? You know, all the ridiculous things most people invest their thoughts on. Still to this day. Do you want to know what God's going to ask you at the very end? He's just going to ask you, do I know you? There's two questions, actually. First, do I know you? And two, what did you do with what I gave you? The second question is particularly interesting because some of you might think, well, I'm a nobody. I can't give anything. I'm telling you now, it's not true. It's not true. You might think I'm not educated enough. Well, join the club. You know how many people, uneducated people, God used? Lots. And you might think, oh man, like I can't even get out of my, like, like debt. The only way I can get out is if I can somehow get like the special diet allowance to like somehow pay off. I'm telling you now, God is bigger than all that. You know, and I'm not just talking about something that I've never gone through with people. I do this with people. I know some people that have stopped getting welfare checks, you know. And you know how it starts, friends? It starts when the first thought in your brain is Jesus. And the last thought in your brain is Jesus. Because I tell you, it's funny, this emotion, shame, how it's the root of a lot of problems, actually, in our world. It's the root of a lot of problems with ourselves. It's the root of a lot of problems in relationships. It's the root of a lot of problems even in the world. You know, how much guilt money is being thrown around right now, you know, to young black men who don't have any programs. You know, so the gun buyback program, that's just guilt money, man. That's not going to stop the gun violence in our city. That's just guilt money. And I tell you this, God may never be able to make us forget the shameful things, but man, He can work through it. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. You might never forget all the dumb things you've done. Lord knows I haven't forgotten. And it's by God's design. Because the reality is, if you are being used by God and you still remember all the shameful things you used to do, you can't take any credit for any incredible thing that you do. You're just grateful. You're like, wow, that wasn't supposed to work. And it did. And that's why I plan less now. Because I'm just all about like, you know what, God? What do you want to say? What do you want to do? And it's funny because, you know, 13 years ago, and I shared this before, when I came back to the city, I was pretty broken. I was broken because I'm a kid that should have never amounted to anything, okay? I know you might not think that, but I am. I'm an immigrant, young man who got in trouble with the law, who was easier. I figured it was easier for people to fear me than love me. And it's funny how many people God sent my way to just help me out. You know, someone even referenced my old English teacher. She risked her career. She picked me up from home, take me to church, you know. And yet, and then when I was in Bible college, I started to begin to think that maybe I am something important. And you know what's funny? Because God loves me, He let me fail. I had this plan that I would be some big shot pastor. You know, I had this plan like, okay, you know, I'm good at music. I'm good at speaking. I'll just grow some youth group to be big, start speaking around and be an associate pastor and be a senior, move up the ranks. That was my plan. So I want you to know, if ever you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. Okay? Because I'm pretty sure I told God this plan, and He went, that's funny. That's not what's going to happen. Before I landed back in the city, I actually had my dream job. I was the youth pastor of the largest youth ministry in Northern Ontario. I had 160 students. I had a big budget. On paper, it was the big times. But before I got that job, the year before, I worked in a men's shelter. And God made me fall in love with a lot of addicts and meth. I transferred to the youth shelter. 90% of my kids were meth addicts. And God told me, those are the people I love. I love them more, actually. I love them more. So before I got my dream job, I was doing that for a year. So when I ended up getting my dream job, I couldn't stand it anymore. I remember by the third week, I was like, no one's told me to F off. I don't understand. Like, this is weird. People are nice and polite. What's going on? You know? And then I had this crazy idea. Why don't I found a bunch of street kids from Sudbury. And I wanted to bring them to church. And then 3 months later, they're like, we don't really like your ideas. So they fired me. And I tell you, the dark place that I went to right after that was bad. It was bad. You know, sometimes when you go through like the worst emotional moment in your life, you want to do all the things that you know will hurt you. Yeah, I was in that spot. And it's funny because afterwards I interviewed, I think, 8 different places in 3.5 months. So it clearly some people still wanted to hire me, but nothing worked out. I knew I wanted to be back in the city. And it's funny because I actually never interviewed to get back to the city. 2007, I got a phone call. Thursday night. I don't know if you guys remember Paul, the guy who started the dinner. Paul gave me a call. I don't know where. Said, hey, EJ, I heard about you through Grapevine. We used to argue online, I guess, me and him. And then he asked, like, hey, I need help. And I asked, what kind of help you need? He's like, I need a worship leader at church in the beach. I said, oh, yeah, okay, cool. he didn't know. I was like so excited because I'm like, man, I'm going back to the city, you know. And then he's like, I asked him, when do you need help by? He's like, this Sunday. I said, Paul, it's Thursday. He's like, I know, I'm desperate. So I remember, second January 2007. Here I am leading worship in that church. And it's funny because no one knew. I stayed afterwards, after everyone was gone. I cried in that sanctuary. I never thought anyone could trust me ever again. And not only that, I never thought I'd end up in the city that I love the most. I knew I was called to this city. That's why I lived here this whole time. And it's funny because the next month, that's when I ended up at church in the city and Cornerstone. So that's 07. St. Peter's up the street. And then like a few months later, we're just hanging out on the beach and Paul and I had a chat. He was like, hey man, what do you think? He's like, I think I want to stay. And then he said, well, we just had a meeting this morning. I was told to ask you to stay. That was 13 years ago. And I tell you this, the longer I serve God and the crazy things I get to do now, I never forget. I was a kid who was never supposed to amount to anything. All the shameful things I've done in the past doesn't get erased because of what I do now. In fact, God makes sure that it's still there. Because He says, EJ, this is how I work. It's why I can't pat myself on the back. It's funny. I'm on the board of directors now in the community center. I'm on a first name basis with my city councilor. I get to advise the city on some matters that affect poor people. And I tell you, as much as those things are amazing, I can't tell you that it's because of how talented I am. I can't tell you that because I went to this school, I talked to this guy, and this guy mentored me. It was none of that. None of that. It's elegantly simpler than that. God's Holy Spirit can transform anybody. And I believe that wholeheartedly. So I never give up on people. Because some of the people I serve, I see the old me in them. So I'll tell you this. We're going to have a moment of silence to just let this sink in. Okay? Is that okay? I know that's not that Pentecostal, but we're going to spend a minute to just let this sink in. And then we're going to close in prayer. And then we'll just sing a song. A cappella. Is that okay? Let's be silent for a minute.